Okay, today's daf is Ksubas Daf Tzadi Test. We left off in Daf Tzadi Ches Amud Beis about 6 lines before the end of the page. The Gemara had raised the question that if a person told Shaliach to sell for him a Lischa and the guy went and sold a Kura, what's the halacha? I mean, Kura is more than a Lesach, so he sold more than he was supposed to sell. What's the halacha? Do we assume that at least for the Lesach that he was sent to sell, he did the Shlichus and therefore he's Mosif al Dvarav? He did the Shlichus plus, so we have to be done on the plus, but the Shlichus he actually did? Or do we assume that no, when you're Mosif al Dvarav, you're doing something totally different than what your Shlichus is, and therefore it's not called Mosif al Dvarav, it's called Mavir al Dvarav, that he violated what he was sent to do. So we mentioned yesterday there are going to be two rayas. We learned one of the rayas yesterday. The second raya we're going to start with today. Then the Gemara is going to Anamad Aleph, going to flip the question on. I have an Ikada Amri that says that no, that if he told you to sell the Lesach and you went and you sold the Kur, everyone would agree that it's Mosif al Dvarav. What if you do less than you were sent to do though? Is that called Mavir al Dvarav? Or is that called that you did part of the Shlichus and therefore it's considered to be a valid Shlichus? And the Gemara is going to bring some rayas to be poshet that question as well. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss if Mishalech tells you to sell to one person, can you split it and sell it to more than one person? Meaning, instead of selling the entire field to one person, can you sell half to one person, half to another person? Is the Mishalech assumed to be makbid that it should be specifically for one person? The Gemara is going to have a machlokas amorayim about that. And then the last piece before the Mishnah, we're going to discuss a little bit about ona'a lekarkos. We have a din of ein ona'a lekarkos, the karka that's mispriced and sold for the wrong price. We don't assume is a violation of ona'a, and therefore we don't assume that the mekach can be batel. But the Gemara is going to say that maybe when a shaliach is selling the karka, and the shaliach is the one that misprices the field, then it's going to be different. Ein ona'a lekarkos is when the bal hakarka sells the field, but maybe by a shaliach it's different. So let's again pick up from 6 lines before the end of the page on Tzadi Ches Amud Beis, and again we're dealing with the shaila: if a man was sent to sell a lesach of karka, but he went and he sold twice as much, he sold a kur of karka, do we assume that lischa miyakani, that he did his shlichus on the lesach at least, and that lesach at least is a valid sale? Or do we assume no, he's not Mosif al Dvarav, he's Mavir al Dvarav, he has completely violated his shlichus and there is no kinyan here whatsoever? Tashma, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. Let's say a woman's ksuba is worth a mana, umachra shava mana vidinar bimana, and she went and she sold a land that was worth a mana vidinar for a mana. Mechra batal. Her mechra is batal. We assume that she did not do her shlichus at all, and the whole sale is invalid. So what does this mean that she sold mana v'dinar for a mana? My love, d'zavin shava mana v'dinar b'mana v'dinar. Doesn't it really mean that she sold a field that was worth a mana v'dinar for a mana v'dinar? Umay b'mana. And why does it say that she sold it for a mana? What it means is mana shalah, that she's only entitled to a mana. So what it's telling me is that she took a $101 piece of land when she's only entitled to $100, sold it for $101, and says, I'll keep $100 and I'll give you the extra dollar. Umaya filu, afilu ameris achzir sadina liyoshim bedina mekarkai. Even if she says, I'll give you a dinar worth of karka by buying back for that dinar one extra, the extra dinar of land that I sold that I wasn't entitled to sell, still the vekatani mechra batal, her mechra is going to be batal. Why is her mechra batal? If she was authorized to sell and she's like a shliach to sell land that's shavamana, and she sold land that's shavamana, she just was mosif, she sold land shavamana v'dinar, so why can't she make up that last dinar by buying back that last dinar and let the original sale of the original mana still be chal? So what you see from here is that if she didn't sell the precise amount of land that she was supposed to sell, it's considered to be a violation of her shlichus. Not mosif al dvar, but mavir al dvar. She has violated the shlichus. So the answer is the Gemara, no, that's not what we're talking about over here, where she sold land of a man of a dinar for a man of a dinar. The Mishnah didn't say she took land that was worth a man of a dinar and sold it for a man of a dinar. The Mishnah said she took land that was worth a man of a dinar and sold it for a mana, and that's why the mechir is batel. If she in fact sold land of a mana of a dinar for a mana of a dinar, and she's going to make up that extra dinar, then ein achinami. It works. The original mana that she sold the land for is a perfectly binding sale. She was just mosav al dvarav. No, the case in the Mishnah is she got a bad deal. She sold land worth mana of a dinar, and she only got a mana for it. So says the Gemara, well, if that's the case of the Mishnah, hamidisefa b'da'ozel, havi resha b'da'ozel. It doesn't seem that that should be the case of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah goes on to discuss a case where she gets a bad deal. So if the Mishnah goes on to discuss a case where she gets a bad deal, why would we have two separate cases in the Mishnah, both about her getting a bad deal? Dekatani seifa, because it says in the seifa, haysa ksubasa arba meil zuz, that if she has a ksuba worth 400 zuz, machra la zebemana, ula zebemana, and it really means ula zebemana, she sells to the first three people, she sells karka that's worth a mana, for a mana, exactly what it's worth. So she collects the first 300 by selling three pieces of karka each worth a mana. Ula achron, and then to the last guy, yafa mana vidinar bimana, she sells $101 piece of land for $100. Shel achron mechron batel, the shel kulan mechron kayam. Then the sale to the last guy is batel, but the sale to the first three is a perfectly valid sale. But don't you see already in the Seifa, we're talking about where she got a bad deal. So it's not likely that the Mishnah is teaching me two cases, both about Bida'ozil, where she got a bad deal, because why would we need two cases where she got a bad deal? And therefore, we're back to our Raya. The case of the Resha must have been that she sold the land that's worth a mana vidinar for a mana vidinar. And now she's offering to buy back that extra dinar worth of property that she was not authorized to sell for a dinar and give it back to the Yarshim, and she's going to keep the mana. And the Mishnah still says, no, that doesn't work, because the entire sale was invalid. She was not authorized to add anything. Says Gemara, look, Reisha v'Seifa b'da'ozil. It could be that both the Reisha and the Seifa are both talking about where she got a bad deal. And the case of the Reisha was where she sold land that was shava mana v'dinar, and she only got a mana for it. She got a bad deal on it. What's the Seifa teaching me then that I didn't already know from the Reisha? V'Seifa, hakamash mulan. The Seifa is telling me the following chiddush. Taima da'ozil b'diasmi, aval b'dida mechrakayim. That it's only the only one that's invalid in the Sefer, the only sale that's invalid is that fourth sale. In the Sefer, she sold four separate pieces of land, and the first three, she got the right amount of money for, she gets to keep those. The fourth one, she doesn't get to keep. But the only reason the fourth one, the sale is invalid, is because that was the last $100 she was entitled to, and she went and took $101. But let's say it was the first field that she sold, that was that she got $100 for a $101 piece of land. Then the sale actually would be valid. Then it would be a valid sale, and we'd view it as if she already collected $101 instead of the $100 that she actually got for the piece of land. So that's the chiddush of the Seifa, that it's only because it was the last piece of land where she's already going into more money than she was entitled to, because she already got paid $300 and now she's taking a piece of land worth $101. So, but if it was the first piece of land where she hadn't gotten anything yet and she took a piece of land that's worth $101, no matter how bad a deal she got on it, the sale would be binding. It's just that we'd view it as if she collected $101 no matter how little money she got for that field. So says Gemara, no, but we already know that halacha, because Hamidereisha Shamid Mina, that was in the very beginning of the Mishnah. We learned that halacha, that if she got a bad deal when she was selling the property, haisuk subasam masayim, let's say she had a 200 zuz ksuba, umachra shava mana bimasayim, and she got a really good deal, she sold a $100 piece of land for 200, or a very bad deal, oshava masayim bimana, or she took a $200 piece of land and only sold it for 100, so niskablik subasa. We assume the sale is binding, it is a valid sale, and we just view it as if she collected a ksuba. So that's exactly the same thing as a woman with a $400 ksuba selling first a $101 piece of land and getting $100. So it's as if she already collected $101. That can't be the chiddush of the seifa. And therefore we're back to the question that how can the seifa be talking about a case b'da'ozil where she got a bad deal, and the Reisha also be talking about a case of bida ozu, when she sold the shava a mana vedina for a mana, how could that really mean that we're talking about where she just got a bad deal, where she literally took a $101 piece of land and sold it for $100? So it says Gemara, no. Maldite mahasamu distalkala mehai beis alagamri, avalacha nigzer mana rishon atu mana achron kamash mulan. One might have thought that it's only over there that that by the first sale where she's completely being mistalik from the from any dealings with the yorshim, because she's collecting the full amount of her ksuba, so there's no need to make any sort of gezera, and therefore the sale is going to be binding. Meaning in the case where she took a piece of land that was worth $200 and her ksuba is worth $200 and she sold it for $100, yeah, she got a bad deal, but the sale is binding because over there there's nothing to discuss further. She already took the full value of her ksuba. But over here, in the case where her ksuba is worth $400, and the first piece of land that she takes is a $101 piece of land, and she only gets $100 for it, I would think that that in that case we would make a gzeira that the mecher should be batel, because no matter what happens at the end of that mechira, she's not done. She's owed 400 zuz. So whether you view it as if she collected 100, or whether you view it as if she collected 101, she's still going to be owed a lot more money. There's a lot more to going on in that in her relationship with the yorshim. So I might think that the mecher should be batel on that first sale atu the last sale where the mecher is batel. So that's the chiddush of the seifa of the 400 zuz case that we didn't learn from the very beginning of the Mishnah. Kamash Malan comes to tell me that mecher is kayim as well, and therefore at the end of the day this raya is not a raya. We tried to bring a raya that if a woman adds to what she was told to do, that she's still considered to only be mosif al devarav, that the original shlichus was fulfilled, but there was something a little extra that was done, because you see that's exactly what happened in the Mishnah. She sold a little extra piece of land in addition to what she was authorized to sell. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what happened in the Mishnah. It's not that she sold an extra piece of land. It's that for the right price. It's where she got the totally wrong price. That's why the mecher was batel in the Mishnah. Doesn't the Mishnah tell me another case where she got the wrong price? Yes, but each one is a chiddush that the other one doesn't. There could be multiple chidushim, even though the different parts of the Mishnah are all talking about where she got the wrong price. So that's all one version of the discussion. The Ikeda Amri, a second version, is as follows. Halo Tibaylach, it's not a shayla at all. Hecha da'amle zil zavanle lischa, vizavanle kura, devade mosval dvarav havi. If you were authorized and sent to buy to sell a lesach of land, and you sold a kur of land, then for sure the original lesach that you sold, is you did your shlichus. It's just the extra lesach that you're in violation of your shlichus. But we definitely would only call that mosif al dvarav. We definitely would not call that mavir al dvarav. Kiti Bailach, where we have a shaila, is da amale zil zavan likura va'azal zavan lischa. What if you were sent to sell a larger piece of land and you only sold a smaller portion of that land? You didn't sell the whole thing. My, how do we view your shlichus in that case? Do we assume that you're considered to have done half of your shlichus and therefore the sale is valid? Or do we assume that no, you violated your shlichus? You're supposed to sell this large piece of land and you sold only half of it. Mi aminan, do we assume amalei detavalach avdilach, that the shaliach can tell the mishaleach, I just did you a big favor by selling only part of that land for you? Because what's going to happen? You're going to sell off this massive asset, and then you're going to realize why do people sell off land? They only sell land when they're desperate for cash. Generally speaking, real estate is something you want to hold on to. So they're only willing to sell land when they really need cash. So I just did you the biggest favor. What if you sell too large a piece of real estate, and then you can realize you didn't need all that cash? You could have gotten away with half that cash and you still would have gotten by, and you should have kept the other half, but it would be too late. The whole mecher would already be kayim, and there's no way that you're able to back out on it. And therefore I did you a big favor, so you should say thank you very much and be happy with this sale, and therefore it should be a binding sale. Oh, Dilmar, maybe no. Amarle, lo nichli, delif shushtari lavai. Or maybe the mishalech can tell the shliach,
I don't want multiple deals going on here. I don't want multiple shtaros. I want a single shtar to a single person. This is going to further complicate my life. I would have preferred if, in my judgment, I had to sell a core of land. That's what I wanted to sell, a core of land to only one person. So the Maram Shif just raises the question, l'chora, even when the Baal Bais told him to sell, in the previous case, when the Baal Bais told him to sell a lesach, and he sold the core, he sold more than he was supposed to sell, couldn't we have said the same to Tzadim, that there's a tzad that the Shliach could say, I did you a big favor so that you shouldn't have multiple shtaros, meaning if you would turn out that you would have needed more money, you would have had to sell the second lesach to somebody else, and then you would have had a second shtar, and mitzad hasheni, the Baal Bais could say to the shliach, no, you cost me because what if I don't need all that money? What if it turns out that I don't need all that money? Then I wouldn't have to. Meaning, just say the opposite. Just have the shliach say the mishalech tayna, and the mishalech say the shliach tayna, and it would be the same suffix. So why is it that the Gemara in the Ikad Armi says, oh, if he sold more than he was supposed to sell, then that's for sure just most of Aldevar. That we know for sure. It's so we only have a suffix if he sold less than he was supposed to sell. It's the same suffix. You should have the same suffix whether he sold more or whether he sold less. So the Maram Shif suggests that since when the shliach sells more than what the Baal Bais told him to sell, so certainly that extra part that he sold, the mekach, is going to be batal because the Baalim never asked him to sell that. He never authorized him to sell that. So that for sure the mekach has to be batal. The whole nidon is only about the chelek that the Baal Bais said that he should sell, the first lesach that he authorized him to sell, whether that's batal or not. So you can't say these svaros. You can't say, oh, I did you a big favor because I gave you. No, you didn't do me a favor because you weren't authorized to do that. Whereas over here, he's selling less than he was authorized to sell. So then he can say, I did you a favor by doing this part of my shlichus. So it's a totally different case. You can't say the same svaros in both cases. The Rashi explains that the tova over here is that if it would turn out that you had enough money and you didn't need to sell as much as you thought you needed to sell, you would never have been able to get this land back. So I did you a tova by selling less land than you authorized me to sell. So the Ran just adds on Chavavim Beis B'dapei Arif that you have to say that we're talking in a case where you can find someone else who will be willing to buy the other lesach. Meaning, in my assessment, in the Mishaleach's assessment, he needs, let's say $1,000. So and he tells you, go sell this core for $1,000. The shaliach decides, nah, I'll sell the lesach for $500. What if the mishaliach taka needs $1,000? He better be able to sell that other lesach for $500. If he can't sell that other lesach for $500, then there's no havamina that the shliach can say, I did you a favor. No, you didn't do me a favor because now I can't get $500 for the other lesach. So it sounds like this is absolutely kuva. And without this idea of the shliach doing a tova, the mekach would be batal. Meaning this idea that the shliach has to be able to taina that I did you a tova, that I did something positive for you. The Rosh, however, says that the idea that the shliach could say, I did a tova to the mishalech, doesn't have to be that it's mamish a tova. It doesn't have to be a tova to the mishalech in order for the shliach to work. It just has to be that it's not a reyusa to the mishalech for it to be considered a kiyum of the shlichus. The whole suffix is the fact that he has that he's being mosiful of shtaros, is that considered a reyusa or not? That's really the ikra of the suffix. Meaning the fact that it's going to cost you more shtaros, is that considered something that's that would upset the mishalech and therefore be a reyusa? So he suggests that the same suffix would apply even if the mishalech would tell the shliach to sell the karka to one person and the shliach goes and sells it to two people. So over there, there's not a tzad tova. You can't say, oh, I did you a tova. He sold everything that he told him to sell. He can't say, oh, I'm leaving you with more real estate. He's not leaving. He sold everything he told him to sell, and he sold it to two separate people instead of selling it to one person. But still, the suffix would still apply, says Rush, because he doesn't need to be doing him a tova. He just needs to not be doing him something that would be bad for him, not to be doing a reyusa for him. It's not a din in a tova. But anyway, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara had this suffix. If a shliach does less than he was authorized to do, do we assume he fulfilled the shlichus on the little bit that he did, or do we assume that the whole shlichus has been violated? Amr Rabbi Chanina Misura. Rabbi Chanina Misura says, Tashma. Tashma, let's bring a raya from the following. Nasal dinar shel zav, a guy gives a shaliach a gold dinar, and he gives him the following instructions. Vamelo haveli chaluk, go buy me a shirt for this golden dinar. The dinar is what he expects the cost of the shirt to be. V'halach v'hevi lo b'shalosh chaluk u'b'shalosh talis shnei amalu. And then he takes the dinar of Zav and he manages to get a shirt for half the price. For dinar is made out of six slime, so he takes three slime of the dinar and he buys the shirt, and the other three slime he buys a talis. Now it happens to be the dinar that he was originally given is hegdish, and no one was aware of it. Neither the mishaleach nor the shliach, they all b'shogeg were using this money for non-hegdish purposes, so they both violate mi'ila. The mishaleach violated mi'ila because his shlichus was done when a shirt was bought with the money that he had authorized the shirt to be bought with, and the shliach violated mi'ila by taking the other half of the money and buying a talis. Say, iam repishlam shliach ki agavna osa shlichuso umosav al dvar vavi. If you're going to say that we view doing something like this to be a fulfillment of the shlichus, when you originally buy that shirt for less than you were supposed to buy it for, that's considered a fulfillment of the shlichus. And then he was just mosif by buying something else as well, mishamachi balabai is ma'al. Then it makes sense why the mishaleach was ma'al. He violated mi'ila because through his shlichus, this money was spent. But if you're going to say the second he bought a shirt for three slime instead of for a full dinar, where he only did less than he was sent to do with that shirt, he was supposed to buy a shirt for a dinar and he bought a shirt for three slime, if you're going to say that that's considered a violation of the shlichus, then why is the balabais in violation of mi'il over here? His shlichus was never accomplished. As we mentioned yesterday, yesh shliach ledvar aver for mi'ila, and it's got to be that he did your shlichus though. But if he did his own thing, then it's not going to be the mishaleach's problem. So it must be, this is a raya therefore, that this is considered mosif al dvar of havi, but it's considered that he did the shlichus, and then he did the shlichus plus, or the shlichus minus rather, that he did a portion of the shlichus, and that's considered to be a fulfillment of the shlichus. Answers are no. Hacha b'mayaskinan, da'isite shava sheish, b'shalosh. The case over there is not where he bought a cheaper shirt. The case over there, that would be doing part of the shlichus. The case over there was, he did the full shlichus because he bought the shirt for the right price. The guy told him to go to this store and buy this kind of shirt. It happened to be, they had a sale that day, that he was able to get that kind of shirt for a cheaper price. He bought the six sella shirt for three sellas. Say, ihachi shliach ha-maymal. Well, if he did that, then why did the shliach violate mi'ila? Well, atalis. His violation of mi'ila was on the next three slime when he went and he bought the talis, because there's no reason for him to do that. Ihachi, if that's the case, ema seifa. But then the seifa goes on to say, Rabbi Yehuda omer ach bazeh balabayis lo ma'al mnei sheyachal omer chaluk gadol ha'isi mevakesh vata vesili chaluk katan vera, that the balabayis can say, I wanted you to buy me a nice big shirt and you bought me a bad shirt, so don't you see that he didn't buy him the right shirt? Says Marno, my ra, you know what ra means? Ra b'damin, that you bought me too cheap of a shirt, meaning I gave you a dinar to spend on a shirt. Damalei, you could say to him, if you managed to get a $6 shirt for $3, imagine if you would have spent all $6 on a shirt, you could have gotten me a $12 shirt. I mean, if they were having a sale, you could have gone up, you could have gotten, or if I misjudged how much these things cost. So I was willing to spend a dinar on a shirt, I would have gotten a much nicer one. So that's why the Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Not that the guy got a bad deal, that he got a bad shirt. He brought back the right thing. It's just that it wasn't right because the Mishaleach could say, my ikur was that I wanted to spend a full dinar. Take anami. And we could prove that when Rabbi Yehuda says ra, he means ra bedamim. He doesn't mean that you actually bought a lower quality shirt. You just bought a shirt for less money than I wanted you to buy a shirt for. Because the Katani, it says, Moder Rabbi Yehuda bekitnis sheshnei amalu, that if he sent him to buy some beans, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that they're both in violation of mi'ila. Shakitnis besela bekitnis papruta. Because you're not going to get a higher quality when you spend more money on kitnis. You're going to just get more quantity of the same item. They sell it by the pound or whatever they sell it by, so it's certainly not going to be a higher quality. As Rashi writes, Shakitnes Besela, he kitnes Pruto Lefi Cheshbon Prutos Besela. That whatever, if you are buying for a single pruta, so you'd get twice as much if you spend two prutas, and three times as much if you spend three prutas. Dimshum de zavent fe lo musli gabe. Buying more doesn't make it cheaper. As the Gemara is about to say, so Shema Mina. So that's why that's a good raya that when we say ra, it means not that he bought a bad shirt, but ra bedamim. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda's moda, if there's no such thing as a good deal, if it's buying something like kitnis. What's the case exactly? If you're going to say that we're talking about a case where they sell b'shuma, they estimate, and then they do an evaluation on the spot. So if you would give them a seller, it would be cheaper. If you buy more, it would be cheaper. So I'm Rav Papa, ba'asra dekaili b'kani, damalei kana kana b'pruta. No, we're talking about where they sell for a set amount, and it's kind of b'prut. If you want more, then you just give more money, and they give you l'fi cheshbon exactly how many beans or whatever it is that you're buying. So first raya attempted that we had, if a person does less than a shlichus, was not a good raya, as it turns out, because in that case it was a unique case where he sent him to spend a dinar and he spent less than a dinar on the shirt. The guy could say, the mishleach could say, I really would have wanted you to spend the full dinar on the shirt and you would have gotten a better deal. Tashma the Gemara says, let's bring a second raya. And the second raya is from our Mishnah. Again, the shaila is, you were sent to sell a kor of land, a large piece of land, and you sold half of it. You sold the lesach of land, you got the right price, but you only did half of the shlichus. Is that considered that you didn't do the shlichus and the whole sale is invalid? Or is it that you did half of the shlichus and therefore the sale is valid? Tashma, raya from our Mishnah. Haisuk subasa arba meil zuz. A woman's ksuba is 400 zuz. Machra lezebemana, ulaachron yafa mana vedinar bimana. She sold to the first three guys a field worth $100 for $100, and then for the fourth guy, she sold the field that was worth $101. It only got $100 for it. So shalachron batel v'shalkulan mechron kayam. The last sale is batel because she got the bad price for it, but the first three mechron kayam. Even though what's she authorized to do? She's authorized to sell a $400 piece of property for $400. And what did she do? She took a $100 piece of property and sold that for $100. Another $100, sold that for $100. Each time she's doing less than her shlichus. And yet you see that as long as she's getting the right price, the first three times her sale is valid. It does work. The mecher is kayim. As Rashi points out, she was sent to sell 400. Instead, she sold to the first guy for 100. It's exactly the case of being sent to sell a kur and buying only a lesech. Answers the Gemara, Kadam Rav Shisha Brei Dravidi, Bikatini, Hachanami Bikatini. Now over here, there was no $400 piece of property. There were a bunch of small pieces of property that are each worth $100. So her authorization is not a case where she was authorized to sell a kor, to sell the larger amount. She was authorized to sell multiple smaller amounts. That was dafka her shlichus. That's exactly what her shlichus was. Now the Talmud Arashba asks, how could it be that we want to be poshet this suffix from our Mishnah? The din in general by an almana is that she could sell a filo arba v'chamisha pamim. That we learned to say design and base, she could sell as many times as she wants in order to get the full value of her shtar. So how could we be mochiach from here that there's no taina of afushi shtari, that you're adding more shtaros? By the almana, she's allowed to do that. By the almana, she's of course authorized to do that. It's not like a case where someone says, go sell for me a quart of land and you sold half of that amount and now he's going to need a second shtar to sell the other half of the land. So the Talmud Rashba suggests, the Gemara could have said that answer, but the Gemara prefers to answer that we're talking about katini, small pieces of land, because with small pieces of land, even if the Yisom Seder Beferish, we want you to go and sell Ba'ar B'meos, and in that case, a person who would sell to four different people, the Mech would be Batel, but by the Mishnah, the Din is not that way. And that's only if we're talking about katini, but without that, if we were not talking about katini,
Shemi, if the Yisom say beferish to sell the karka for arba meos, she should not have violated that. She would not be allowed to break it up on her own and to go sell it for less. So by making it katini, it's irrelevant what exactly the Yisomim specifically asked for. Pnei Yeshua deals with this kasha. He says a little differently. He says the Gemara thought that even though the Alman has a right to sell 4 or 5 times, that's only if she sells each field, each time, a full, complete piece of land, a complete parcel of land, where that's a tovel yisomim. Because like we said before, because the shliach said I did a tovel to the mishalech, because if they don't need to sell anymore and they want to pay the rest of it with cash, so at least they'll have the rest of the fields there for them to be able to pay for it with cash. So even though it's a reyus for the yisomim, also by creating a riboy shtaros, but maybe the chum weren't choshish for that because of the chen of the almana. But in our Mishnah, we're talking about she sells it all at one time to 4 different people. So in that case, you can't say that it's a when do we say the almana is allowed to sell as many lands as many times as she wants? That's if she sells a little bit, says, okay guys, do you want to pay me the rest or should I sell more? And they don't pay her the rest, then she could sell a little more. Okay, do you want to pay me the rest? They have the option each time of not giving up on the real estate and of just paying her off. But over here, what did she do in our Mishnah? She sold all 4 at once and then went back to the someone and said, oh, by the way, I sold all your properties and here's what I got left. And you have nothing left. So in that case, she's not authorized any more than a regular shaliach would be to sell multiple times. That's how the Pnei Yeshua deals with this answer. It's interesting, the Gemara's conclusion seems to be that it's only Bikatini, that the Alman is only authorized to do this if she's selling full pieces of land. The Rambam paskins the din of the Mishnah, that if she has a ksuba worth arba mea zuz, and she sells each piece of land for 100, and the last one is shav mea dina b'mana, only the achron is batel, the other ones are kayim. And the Kesem Mishnah says, but the Rambam paskins that in Hilchos Shluchin, if you say the Mishalech says to the Shliach to sell a korn, he sells only a lesach, the mechach is batel because he was mavril devarav, because he doesn't want riboy shtaros. So it should be that the whole din of the Mishnah is only when the karkaos were divided from each other, where it was katini, where it was small pieces of land, and that's why she could sell to 4 different people. So why didn't the Rambam say that? The Rambam never reports this idea of katini. When he quotes the din of our Mishnah, he just quotes the din stam. He doesn't mention that this din is only going to apply if you have individual pieces of land that are each sized at 100 dinars worth. So the Kesef Mishnah suggests that it could be that our Mishnah is not the same as the din of a shliach, because an almana is not the shliach of the yisomim. The nechasim are the almana's nechasim. They're becheskas the almana. The almana, if she wants, she could sell only for a chelik of her ksuba. She doesn't even have to sell for the entire ksuba at one time. So the whole mecher is chal, even though all the sados might have been in one place, it might have been one large piece of land, and she went and sold for 4 different people, meaning different than the Gemara said. Because Mishnah is saying the Rambam must have assumed that the Almana is not really like, the Gemara could have given a different answer why an Almana is different. That the Almana is not a Shaliach, she's the one that's Muksuk Bekarka, it's her land. And that's why she could do whatever she wants. She could sell it piece by piece if she wants, if that's how she's interested in collecting a ksuba. Fine, period. Next discussion. Pshita, the Gemara says, it's obvious in the following. That if a shliach says to the mishalech, I want you to sell this piece of land to one person, so then the halach is, that was what he was charged to do. He was supposed to sell it to one person, and that's it. And he can't sell it to 2 people. But if he doesn't say, I want you to sell to one person and not to 2, he just said, sell it to a person, to one person. He never said, not to 2. He never said explicitly, don't sell it to 2. So do we assume that he's makbid that it dafka be 1? So that's a machlokas. Rafuna amar le'echad v'lo l'shnayim. If he said sell it to one person, it means 1 person. So don't sell it to 2. Rav chisav rabba rafuna damri tarvayu le'echad v'afil l'shnayim le'echad v'afil l'meya. Now, if they say 1 person, he means he's speaking b'matzui, that it's most common that you'll find 1 person to buy it. You want to divide it up into 100 little pieces and sell it to 100 people? Because on day, do whatever you want. That's fine by me. I don't care about afushe shtaros, that you can have multiple
multiple shtaros. So that's the machlokas amarayim. Fractosos, wait a second. We just had that shaila whether we care about afushe shtaros, and it was nibay the livshita. We never answered that shaila. So what's going on over here? Tema hale'elo v'shita bayini chashin lafushe d'shtara v'hechi pashal le'rafun of Rav Chista. How could Rav Huna and Rav Chista be poshet? We weren't poshet that shaila previously. What changed that now all of a sudden each of the amarayim have confidence in their answer? Previously we had no answer whether we're choshesh for afushesh tara. So the few answers Tosfos gives. Number one, he says in Farash Rabbeinu Tam, Taik paid the afushesh tara dilel lav mishum zilas nechasim elim shum sheitzorich lachzor l'kol shtar achra chasim aseidim. The reason that the guy doesn't want many shtaros is not because he thinks he's getting a raw deal out of it, or he's going to get less money out of it. It's just it's a real tircha to go find aidim to sign on the different shtaros and to just have multiple kinyanim being done. But over here we're talking about v'hacha b'shkvar chasmu eidim al shnei shtaros. The lekha k'peda da fushi shtara ala fushi bali din shatereach lo li zaka kayom l'macha lavo imahim. L'din. Over here, there's no issue of finding more eidim because it's already done. The shliach already did it. He already sold it to both parties and everything is already taken care of. In the previous case, he was authorized to sell the kor. He sold only a lasach. The other lasach, he still would have needed to find another shtar, other eidim to sign that shtar. It would have been a whole to-do to sell the other lasach. Over here, he sold everything. He just happened to sell it to multiple people. So it's all taken care of already. So that's the machlokas over here, whether afushi shtar is also a concern just based on the fact that he now has more balei din to deal with. That's different than the previous case where it was all about finding more eidim. The Rebbe then tells us another interpretation. The Rebbe mukila sugi b'shtar echad delek kpeda d'shtar el kpeda d'baledinin ubayhi aviplukta, that maybe he sold to multiple people but it was with one shtar. V'achid brusha amar le'echad v'l'shnayim kpeda shloim kol l'shnayim afilu b'shtar echad, that if a guy says I want you to sell it to one person not to two, you can't even sell it to two people in a single shtar because he said le'echad v'l'shnayim. But what if he says to one person, and he never says not to two? Can you sell it to two people in a single shtar where you're at least not going to be mapish shtaros? But if you are going to be mapish shtaros, say nechinami, that's nibay the livshita that we had earlier that we don't know the answer to. So anyway, so we have this machlokas in the Gemara. When he says le'echad, does he mean velo l'shnayim or not? So ikla Rav Nachman l'sura, ala gabay Rav Chisra Rabbah Rav Huna. Rav Nachman t'sura, Rav Chisra Rabbah Rav Huna, who said that you're even allowed to sell it to 100 different people, came to visit him. Amar le ki agav namai, and they asked Rav Nachman, what do you think about this case? Amar lehu le'echad v'afilu l'shnayim le'echad v'afilu l'meha. I agree with you. I think if the guy said le'echad, it means lav davka echad, it could be shnayim, it could be meha, however many people, it's all fine. Amar le av agav d'tah shliach, says, is that true even if he's got a bad deal on the land and he made a mistake? He sold it for the wrong price. Would you still say that the shlichus is valid? Amalu detach shliach lo kamina. I said no. If he got the right price, I'm talking about. Amalei v'amarmar eino no lekarkos. What difference should it make if he gets the right price or not? Isn't there a rule that eino no lekarkos, that there's no dino na'a on karka? So if there's no dino na'a on karka, the price that he gets, whatever price he gets, is the right price. Isn't that what eino no lekarkos means? There happens to be machlokes rishonim why it is that they don't know the karkos. Tosfos Maseches Babasra writes that it's gzeres hakasuv, that even though land does have a value, gzeres hakasuv, that there's no din of na'a on karkos, no din of overcharging or undercharging. The Chinuch says, no, it's not gzeres hakasuv. It's karka shava kol kesef shenos maleha. Karka is worth whatever people are willing to pay for it. That is the value of karka. He writes, avol karka l'fisha karka davar kayam liolam. Since karka will always be there, derech habrios limchol bo kolo na'a achash lachoso. You never feel like you overpaid for a piece of land because you know that you'll have it forever, it will always be there forever. It's never going to run out. So even if you paid too much for it, it's not really a din of a na'a. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch writes. Now they ask the Kasha, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, why do I need a pasuk to teach me in Onal the Karkos? If it's just a simple svara that no one ever feels like they overpaid. So the Achronim point out, no, you need the pasuk to teach me. In Onal the Karkos is a svara mitzad the lokeach. The lokeach will never feel cheated. But if the mocher charged too little for it, he'll feel cheated. That's Einonah LeKarkos. That's the Gzeres HaKos of Einonah LeKarkos. But anyway, so the Gemara is asking over here, Einonah LeKarkos. So why should it make a difference whether the Shliach got the right price for it? Einonah LeKarkos is only if the owner himself is selling it. But if the Shliach messed up, the Balabais can say, I sent you to do a good job, not a bad job, not do something bad for me, so the whole Shlichus is batel. Where do we find that there's a difference between the Shliach and the Balabais doing the wrong thing? The Tanan, we have a Mishnah. I want you to go and be Torim, take Truma from me. Torim kedas balabais. You should take Truma however much you think the Balabais normally gives for Truma. And if you don't know, take the average 2%. Piches asara hosef asara, Truma sa Truma. If you take 1/40th or 1/60th, that counts too. Vil gabe balabais tanya, but when it comes to the Balabais, Torim balab yadu afilu echon me'asrim, Truma sa Truma. Even if you take 1/20th, the truma is a valid truma. If the Balabais makes that mistake himself, the shliach makes that mistake, the whole shlichus is invalid. So you see that there's a difference between the Balabais and the shliach. Technically speaking, there is no shear of truma min haTorah, however much you want it to be. Tashma, ha'isuk subasa arba me'elzuz, machma lezebemana lezebemana, le'achron shav mana v'dinar b'mana, shal achron batal v'shal kulan mechron kayim. That again, we try to bring a raya from our Mishnah, that if you can assume that there's a hakpada on having multiple shtaros, so why over here is the mechir going to be kayam on the first three shtaros? As Rashi points out, via fushin shtar kepedi ni nami di yisom lo galu datayu anan mi adiyad yisom binan the mahavi yisom the meimer mechron batel. We should look out for the yisomim and say, no good, you can't be making four different shtaros on a land that you could have sold once. So amar of shisha brei daviti bikatini. No, we're talking about over here where the pieces of land are each only worth 100 dinar, and there's four different pieces of land. So that's why it's set up to be four separate shtaros. Okay, but we'll pick up the commissioner tomorrow.